What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man, I love you on The Score, man. It's so awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already 2 touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our guy, Jarrett Payton. He joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Jarrett, good morning. How you doing?
Molly and Hall, what's going on, fellas?
You know, we're just marveling at the length and the time that it takes to find the right head coach and how different guys keep being mentioned and brought through virtually. At least you don't have to pay for any airfares. But it's such a strange process, and I'm not sure. I mean, there are good candidates out there. I'm just not sure how it ends up and how we're going to feel about it. But if they get the right guy, no one cares.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what everybody's hoping for, Mully. But, I mean, my hope is that they're doing their due diligence. They're also getting as much information that they can and diving into every single question that they have about their situation going on, about the situation where some of these coaches are at the moment. And I hope they're getting a fact-finding adventure and they're getting all of this, a trove of information that they can use to get this organization back on track.
How would you feel about Mike McCarthy?
I mean, we talked about this last night, David. I mean, you look at his record from, you know, in Green Bay to also Dallas. I mean, I wouldn't be upset, but I don't know if it excites me. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's like that's what I've been waiting for. But it's kind of like that. That's the feeling that I get about it. But it would kind of fit in some ways, what they're looking for, a guy that's done it before, that has that experience, and someone that they seem to feel comfortable with, and hence the reason why they really wanted to talk to him, you know, last week, but got denied by the Cowboys. So I would not just throw it to the side, but it's not that wow factor that I was looking for, if that's the case.
Is there a wow factor left, in your opinion? If you could have anyone, who's your wow?
Oh, Mully, I was thinking about this on the long drive home last night from work. I was like, what am I going to say tomorrow morning? Because I'm like, I know they're going to ask me this question. That first part that I just gave you, I figured that part out on the way home. I guess I don't know. I guess the Ben Johnson situation, I think for me, that hire would probably excite me because of just what I've got a chance to see over the last few years, and then also just kind of the vibe that I get from a lot of people here in Chicago. I'm a realist too, as well, because it comes to a guy that hasn't done it before. And even though I look at his track record in Detroit, he still hasn't been a head coach before. So it's, in some ways, that's right up the alley of what we've known here in Chicago, right? Of giving guys the opportunity to become a head coach, but with that no head coaching experience. And that hasn't worked out. So it scares me a little bit. I'm torn, and I'm also, I can put my hand on the stove too many times. So it's like, you know, does it work out this time? And I think that's what probably frightens me just a little bit. But if there is one name, he's probably the name that still would excite me if I hear the Bears are going to hire Ben Johnson. But I also think of now with Tom Brady in the mix out in Vegas and talking to people, Brady and Ben Johnson seem to be pretty similar in the way that they are as people. And so if Tom Brady's calling my phone and I'm Ben Johnson and I'm getting a chance to talk with him and have conversations with him, man, that'd be hard to turn down or to steer away from a guy, especially how I think their brains work offensively when it comes to plays and their ideas. So I don't know if the Bears can contend with Vegas and Tom Brady. I think that's where he goes.
How much of your hesitation in committing to either a specific candidate or maybe even believing in what's going on is related to any growing doubts you might have about Ryan Poles?
Oh, I mean, the Poles thing, I've been skeptical, Dave, for just, you know, throughout this process. And it's just because of what we've seen, I think, over the last 3 years. And listen, I'm willing to give Ryan Poles a shot to get this thing right. And it seems like Kevin Warren and that organization feels the exact same way. They feel comfortable with him making this decision. And this is, to me, we talk about decisions in this organization. This one right here is the biggest one in my lifetime of getting this right now. And I don't know. I've always had hesitation. I've always had pause just because of how, like I tell you guys all the time, the timelines here. You know, the not committing to a contract extension with Poles and us hearing about it here in Chicago up at Hallis Hall, it put a lot of question marks over my head. Like, okay, what's going on here? And just knowing how these coaches, these GMs all want to be on the same timeline. And I know we have the vote of confidence verbally from the organization about Poles, but I don't know. It's still there. I think there's just a lot of question marks from decisions that he's made, and no one's perfect. And I understand that, but I think the vision was just to be a little bit further along after 3 years. And I think that's one of the things that gives me pause just a little bit.
Yeah. I don't question that. I think that the good thing about a guy like Johnson is that you would be damaging a division opponent, right? You'd be taking something away from Detroit, even if he ends up going to Vegas, but you'd rather have him here if you really believe that he's been putting together good game plans against other teams in the division. I wonder how you feel seeing the Vikings bow out, seeing the Green Bay Packers bow out, and not knowing. I mean, you know, I saw Dan Campbell saying today that Jaden Daniels is really a dangerous player. I think we know that. What's your thought on if the Lions, they're banged up, if they were to lose somehow, they're a 10-point favorite. That's even more points than Notre Dame's getting against Ohio State. So that's a lot of points. I just said that to annoy David.
Hey, you did say that. Yeah. I'm all up for taking the points too, Molly. Yes. If it's a good game, you know. So I'll say this about the Packers. I mean, just the way the Bears ended their season, right? And Thomas Brown beating the Packers, first coach to do that in 6 years, big deal. And then to send them to Philly, that just kind of that made me feel good because I knew that that was going to be a tough one. But you know, I look at Minnesota. I mean, they got decisions to make at quarterback. I mean, they have decisions to make now, and last night made it probably, you know, I'm a little threw a wrench in it for them for a little bit. But then I also think about Detroit and how banged up they are. But they've shown us, though, Mully, that even as banged up as they are, they still can find a way. And to me, that leads to the guy that's running the show, and that's Ben Johnson's calling the plays, but Dan Campbell is the one that's overseeing everything. And I think that team really models themselves after their head coach. And it would surprise me if they bow out this early. My feelings is that team is, regardless of how banged up they are, they still, and a lack of a pass rush too, which in this part of the season, you have to have. They haven't had that since Aiden Hutchinson's been out, and they still have found a way to be able to win. Kudos to Dan Campbell because his team has really followed his lead, and I'd be surprised if they get knocked out. And they're not in New Orleans when I'm there.
Cowboys have an opening, obviously, Jarrett. We know that. The Steelers have lost six straight playoff games. There's already national speculation about Mike Tomlin being traded to the Cowboys, or they look into that possibility. So if he is potentially leaving Pittsburgh and you're the McCaskies and have a relationship with the Rooneys, would you at least make a phone call to find out if that is indeed a possibility, or is that just something that would be a non-starter?
I mean, David, I would – if they're doing they're casting this wide net, why not? I mean, you just – to me, you never really know – I've had chances of being around Mike Tomlin a couple of times. The past Super Bowl, got a chance to talk with him for a little bit at the commissioner's party. And man, you talk about the respect level. I think that's the issue in with the Steelers right now. When you look at the situation going on, you have a good defense. You also have some young guys on that team, and I think he has somehow kind of maybe lost a grip of and a hold of that football team. I think you do have some leaders on there, Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, but still, it's not enough to be able to get them over the hump. And there's a reason why maybe his message is running thin in Pittsburgh. So I love Tomlin, and if you were telling me that, I know I always say that it's just not about just getting into the postseason, and you know it's about winning a championship, but. I mean, this dude has gotten to the postseason, like it or not. There's something about what he does, the method to his madness. Maybe something needs to change and needs to tweak, but maybe that's also a new destination for him as well, to be able to kind of start something new. So there's when you look at a guy and how he's his voice and when he talks and when he speaks. And I was last year, I was standing like kind of away while he was talking before I walked up to him to say hello and introduce myself to him and say hello. Man, the people around him, the command that he has, there's something about that. And it was special to see. So yeah, I would, why not make that phone call and see if there's any interest there to be able to talk to the Rooney family.
Do you question why there's so many candidates? Do you care about that? Would you prefer if there were 10 as opposed to 20? They've already gotten 9 interviews done. Do you think they'll be able to get enough finished before it's hiring time?
At first, Molly, I was very skeptical. I'm like, why are you doing this? And I'm an avid listener to the Score. So they were playing that one clip of David talking about it should be narrowed down to 5. You know, Dave, that clip where you named the 5 guys that you were thinking it should be: Vrabel, Ben Johnson, I think I forgot who else you said in the clip. But I was feeling like that at the beginning. Now I think there's a method to this madness, and I'm just hoping that they get it right. I think they're trying to get as much information as possible. And kudos to them for doing that. But in some ways, it still feels like they still don't know. They still don't know which direction they truly, truly want to go. And I'm hoping they find that out through this process while they're also getting information and feedback, not just on what these coaches want to do for Caleb Williams and how they can impact the defense, but maybe they're also getting a vibe of internally about themselves as well, because things need to change a little bit for them to get over the hump. It's not just about hiring the head coach. It's about getting the whole entire cycle right inside that building so they can figure out a groove so they can get things back on track.
All right, Jared, so before we let you go, we have to ask you about the U paying $4 million for Carson Beck in an NIL deal. Just wonder, is that money well spent, and is he getting so much money because he promises to play all four quarters of a bowl game?
Oh, boy.
Gratuitous. Jeez, man.
That's a gratuitous shot.
That was a shot.
I'm just asking, Jared.
Right now, my boy Cam Ward. I mean, I'm cool with Cam not playing, but I knew what Cam was doing. I mean, I'm just glad that he's
That's fine. He can justify it. It will be the first question he's asked at the Combine, I believe.
He's going to have to answer that. He's going to have to answer a lot of stuff. I mean, even at the Combine, when I went to the Combine, I didn't have any individual meetings, but I was in the main scrum where I got a chance to go around and talk to coaches. And they knew about a fight that I got into back in eighth grade. They asked me about that. So, yeah, if they ask me about that, I know that, it was Jack Del Rio who asked me that question. I'll never forget it in my entire life. Yeah, he's going to have to answer that. With the Carson Beck thing, I got a chance to watch him at Georgia. I knew what he's all about. It's going to be a little bit different for him, this offense that he's going into in Miami. So he's going to have to change part of his game, because that game is more of a quick game, spread out here and there. And we saw Cam Ward be able to make throws with different arm angles and get the ball out quick. He's my son and I call him Mr. Nonchalant back there in the pocket. So can he change his game a little bit? Because the money can always be well spent, but you have to see the results. And so hopefully they can find a way to get – he's going to have to change his game, get the best out of him to make that NIL deal work. But we'll have to see. I'm all up for spending money, because I'm especially at the quarterback position in college football. If you can find a difference maker right there, can get you a chance to be able to play in the college football playoffs.
Great stuff, Jared. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Jared.
Always good, guys. Talk to you soon.
That is Jarrett Payton. That's pretty funny.
That's good answer by Jarrett.
You went after him.
He defended the U. I wasn't going after him. I'm just having some fun.
Oh, boy.
Got to admit, $4 million is a lot of money for Carson
Beck.
Carson
Beck is crazy. But you know what?
Coming off an injury and surgery as well.
Here's the thing. There are certain NFL quarterbacks. There are certain quarterbacks that belong in the NFL, and there are certain college quarterbacks that are good for college football. I don't know that
you're
they
so
belong
right.
in the NFL.
You're so right. These are, given the marketplace, worthwhile investments in guys who were good for college football.
But they
don't project as NFL quarterbacks.
No. But I think the championship game has two of them.
Definitely.
I think two similar kind of big-bodied, big guys that can run a little bit and are God squatters. Both of them.
Very similar quarterbacks.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line. 312-540-0670. What can you win? Well, you can win four tickets to the 2025 Chicago Auto Show, running February 8th to 17th at McCormick Place. For more information, visit chicagoautoshow.com. For tickets, visit tickets.drivechicago.com, 312-540-0670. And stay tuned. We still have Chris Stapleton tickets to give away. You don't want to miss that, because he's coming to Tinley Park next June 27th.
I like that one song.
You like that one song.
He's got a lot of good songs.
You like that one song, but he's got a ton of songs.
Tennessee Whiskey.
Yeah.
It's worth going just to hear that song.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
I've seen him a couple times in concert. So I think that when we come back, I want to ask you about a White Sox question.
Oh boy. Can't we stay with the horrible Bears coaching
search? I have a quick White Sox question.
Just joking. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Let's talk some White Sox, shall we?
God, no. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, so let's talk some White Sox real briefly. I've got some other things I want to get to and ask you about, but I do want to know what your opinion or your reaction is to the report from Sportico on Monday that billionaires Matt and Justin Ishbia, they're ready to buy the Twins. They're going to buy it full everything. They're going to buy it from the Poulet family, and they first have to divest because they own part of the White Sox, a minority share in the White Sox they bought in 2021. So did we know that the Ishbias were part of the ownership group?
They were a mystery group. They were secret owners of the White Sox. We didn't even blame them for what happened last year.
I know. There could have been.
It seems like they got away.
They got away with that.
I didn't know. Now I know it's the Ishbias. I got to go after
investment,
them.
Sneaky good or bad investment. I don't know. But if they're willing to buy the Twins, why wouldn't they buy the White Sox?
It's a really good question. Maybe the Sox aren't for sale. I don't know if that's part of the, problem.
Isn't that the way to interpret that? I guess I'm asking you that.
Yes.
They're buying the Twins, but not the White Sox, who they already have ownership of. And we know that Jerry has talked about, or we've discussed, and it's been a citywide discussion about whether or not the White Sox would be for sale.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you about it, but it's – the Sox aren't for sale. Jerry's obviously, you know, talking to people to help them with whatever they're doing, but he is not selling the White Sox because you already have some billionaires that got a piece of it. They could buy it. One of the brothers lives in Chicago. Just built a I think he took three properties and. built a he bought a piece of Lake Michigan.
Yes, I think that's part of the lake.
Holy God! I mean, the ESPNs may own a large portion of Lake Michigan.
Enough to have a floating stadium, I think.
That's right. It's ridiculous.
All right, so that's interesting. I felt like that was one of those things that was worth mentioning. I also think in relation to the White Sox, we talked earlier in the show for people that weren't maybe tuning in early.
Yeah.
There yesterday, Chris Welch, House Speaker Chris Welch, mentioned that
this is a big deal.
There's some support. There's some public support for using taxpayer money to assist the Bears with a potential stadium project at the Michael Reese Hospital site. $466 million in surplus that could be used for infrastructure, and that may influence or impact where the Bears put shovels in the ground. And I think, number one, that's a good development for the Bears. But secondly, is it at all related, do you think, in your world or in the South Loop or South,
yes,
South Side,
yes,
world of the White Sox 78 project? Are they two separate things?
They're two separate things.
Could they both be going on at the same time? Concurrently?
I don't believe so. I don't think they're connected at all. I think that the Michael Reese Hospital closed down in 2009. The area is bereft. It really needs the buildup. I guess the same thing could be said about the 78. It never had anything there to begin with.
The only reason I ask that is because we have $466 million in surplus. That could be going toward the stadium project of the Michael Reese site and for the infrastructure there. Does that take away potential monies for the White Sox at the 78? You know what I mean?
How big
is the pot?
No, they're vying for the same, whatever you want to call it.
Public assistance?
Yes.
The subsidies?
Yes. But
yeah,
it seems like, and you know, again, this is the Speaker of the House talking about perhaps bailing some things out, helping the Chicago Bears if they want to. This is not the lakefront site. This is the Michael Reese Hospital site. There are, there are some issues over there.
There are, but
the idea, but
here's what's different.
You're aiding the city of Chicago.
Well, you're aiding the city of Chicago with a redevelopment investment, but you also have private investment from Far Point Development, which owns the site, and you think that would be part of a broader plan. You're avoiding litigation potentially with the Friends of the Parks by going away from the lakefront. Also, this was a key sentence in the story on Fox32.com. Governor J.B. Pritzker is open to talks with the Bears regarding the Michael Reese site. That is the first time we've not heard anything but a slam door to the Bears talking about staying
exactly
downtown.
That's exactly right. And I think it's because the community needs it. I think it's because this is not the Bears wanting to, create more lawsuits and put a casino on the lakefront, which the city fathers have tried to prevent from happening, but not casinos, but just any commercial elements. And this is, you move into the city, you move into a neighborhood, and then you rebuild a whole neighborhood, and that revitalizes a part of town that there's nothing there right now.
No doubt about it. That's a good thing about it. And so there's always the disclaimer you have to add. The Bears still own 326 acres in Arlington Heights.
Again, they've owned that for a while.
I know.
And they've done nothing with it. No.
Nothing.
And they're using it as kind of a bargaining chip. I don't know what they're doing with it, to be honest.
I don't either, except for they're leaving it vacant. And
it is hard to tell what exactly they're doing with this piece of land.
All right. So the Ishbia, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And with the Michael Reese site, that's another development. Did you see this morning in Green Bay? We talk about Green Bay because Mike McCarthy Way and the Packers, good friend of both of ours. We have known him over the years. Tom Clements.
Yeah, sure.
Quarterback coach of the Packers, retiring.
Oh, really?
Announced it this morning.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
He's a really good quarterback guru, was very instrumental. And all the years that Aaron Rodgers was there.
Why didn't the Bears interview him?
Well, he did once interview to become the Bears offensive coordinator and head coach.
Yeah.
Wait, head coach. And he was blocked from interviewing as offensive coordinator.
Yes. Yeah.
And former Notre Dame quarterback, former Notre Dame coach under Lou Holtz, or assistant coach under Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
And just a real good football guy, just a terrific class act. And obviously has some Chicago ties because he was an attorney in the city before he moved into coaching. And so Tom Clements.
Don't you love stories like that? Somebody that has another skill, could do something else, and decides, nah, I love the game.
It was in his blood. You know, that's why he coached into his 70s, and I think he loved it and couldn't get away from it. He spent some time in Arizona, came back to Green Bay, worked with Matt LaFleur on that staff. And so a really good guy and a Packer staff member that just is, you know, it's time to walk away. So the Packers will have to replace Tom Clements with the market for a quarterbacks coach.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think when you consider all of the changes going on in the league and all that, you're a lot better off changing assistant coaches than you are trying to find a new head coach. And, and I, the Bears have got the wide net going. I don't care how many people they want to talk to. I just want to know when they get to the end that they have the right guy. That's the only thing that matters. And I don't want them to miss out on someone because they've got too large a list. And I feel like that's already happened with Vrabel. Now you can argue that, oh no, they were always gonna have to do. They could have interviewed Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel. Well, Vrabel still was working with Cleveland up to like 2 weeks before the end of the season. They could have contacted an agent, made an overture, and he could have gotten out earlier if indeed there was a head coaching job for him.
Yeah, we need to clarify because when we talk about Ben Johnson still being probably the guy at the top of the Bears list, like he is at the top of the Raiders list, because he is probably the hottest candidate available, you would have to wait
for them to get eliminated
until the end of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It's not the timeline that I think is
unless
a bigger problem.
Unless they lose to Washington.
That could happen. But it's not the timeline that I think makes us raise an eyebrow and scoff or question. It's the length of the list. When you have 20 candidates, you wonder if the Bears know what they're looking for.
And they're not all offensive guys. They're not all defensive guys.
It's a hybrid.
And I don't think I understand, like, when they keep the overtures keep coming to talk to Marcus Freeman. I understand leader of men, all that nonsense. I think it's noise, to be honest with you. I think that,
well, there's nothing to the Marcus Freeman stuff.
No, there's no truth to it. But I'm saying that's what would appeal to them, is that he's a leader. And I think the guy's a good leader. I just wonder, he just turned 39. I don't know how leading a college program resonates in the NFL in terms of just being the leader of men type thing. I'm not saying he wouldn't be a great hire, but he'd need to hire the right people in order to be a great hire.
And I wonder about the approach, because as you know, I was looking at this video that's making the rounds on social media. Marcus Freeman at halftime of the Orange Bowl. And let me tell you, he has got a captive audience.
Yes,
he is being very intense, and he's vowing to run the football, and he's getting his team emotionally ready for the second half, where they
won the damn game
in every way. Yep. And I just wonder how that would play in an NFL locker room.
Yeah, I don't know how it would play in an NFL locker room. I do know that it plays great in a college locker room, and he has kind of unkeyed a mystery as to how to relate to players.
He's
where he belongs.
Yes.
He's in a perfect spot.
No doubt.
And they are, and I know you're offended by it, they are 9.5-point dogs. The early line said,
it doesn't take much, does it?
7.5. No, but I mean, it is an insult. If you're saying they're 9.5 points worse than Ohio State, that's got to burn them a little bit, right?
Yes.
And that's good for him. That's another thing to harp on.
It is. It's something that he can use as fuel. You know that he will. And I wouldn't be surprised if they definitely come out.
I understand why they're undercharged, though. I do. I think Ohio State has got a lot more possibility for explosive plays.
Ohio State's got explosive plays.
Exactly.
They've got an NFL wide receiving core.
Yeah, and you don't have that at
Notre Dame. No, you don't. The skill position. Jeremiah Love is a guy that you will maybe see on Sundays.
Yes.
But I just don't know if you look at their wide receiving core. Jordan Faison is a terrific talent.
Yes,
but he's
not
a lacrosse player. But he's not Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, he might play professional lacrosse.
He could, definitely.
No, I don't even know if they have a league. But
They do. PLO. Well, yes. You're not familiar with the PLO?
No, I haven't followed.
The Premier Lacrosse League.
You see, here's the problem. I am not familiar with the sport, to be honest with you. I've seen it.
High skill.
I understand how it's played. I don't think I've ever been to a lacrosse match. And so it's hard for
it's
me
a growing
to project.
Sport in the area.
Listen, the kid, the idea that you could play two sports in college is it blows your mind. That's really difficult to do. I don't know anything about. I don't. That seems to me like an East Coast sport, even though I know there's a lot of.
It's big in the Midwest now.
Okay.
So last thing I want to get to is that we don't want to overlook what Florio sort of tossed out there. Kevin O'Connell could be having contract issues that was more than just a leverage play.
Yeah.
And that could be something that – did he suggest that the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell might be coming to a contract impasse?
He did suggest that.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he
– I want to make sure I heard that correctly.
He basically said – that the Jay Glazer stuff was not just some kind of a hot take, that there's legs to that. If that's the case, there's another guy. Let's add him to the list of interviewees.
Well, you have all these possibilities. The Bears have 20 guys they're intrigued by, apparently. The most intriguing would be making that list 22 and calling the Vikings to see what Kevin O'Connell's situation is, and the Steelers. The McCaskies and the Rooneys have a little collab and catch-up session and, I don't know, have some coffee or tea and say, hey, want to trade your coach? What would it take?
I love Mike
Maybe
Tomlin.
Maybe a Guinness.
And I think, I think that what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done for so many years is always taken coach over GM or coach over personnel guy. And it's paid off for them. It really has. Tomlin's been great there. I get it. People are mad that they make the playoffs and they don't win, and they lost last four games of the season, and then they lost in the playoffs.
Five straight. It's a tough way to lose.
That's an awful way to go out. And yet, I always felt they were overachieving.
The standard is the standard, and they're saying that in Pittsburgh, and they're looking at six straight one-and-dones in the playoffs, and I think that we in Chicago look at that and say, six straight appearances in the playoffs?
The goal's here. I mean, hell, if the Bears could get to the playoffs.
Goodness.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
Holy cow. And we thought that this was a year they were going to make a move. Let me tell you something. You look at the Bears and the way they lost 10 straight games at the end of the year and the way they lost those games.
Very creative.
You get the right coach in here.
Yeah.
You don't lose to Washington. You probably don't lose to Green Bay. You don't lose to who else? What other wacky
way? There's a couple other losses you could point to. It could be wins.
You turn three or four games. Now you got nine wins. Now you're like, you know.
Objectively, they could have been 9-8.
Yes, they could have.
If they would have had a head coach and a staff.
How in the name of God did they lose all those games in that fashion?
5-12 could have easily been 9-8.
Hey, tell me all about what the problems are on the offensive line, and they don't have enough to pressure the defense. And they didn't build the team from the line of scrimmage. Let me tell you something. If they could close a damn game, they'd have a completely different season, and we wouldn't be raising those as such panic points.
I'm sure you won't be complaining next year when Drew Petzing has figured everything out. Now we have promise. Now we'll deliver on the ticket offer, 312-540-0670. Be the sixth caller, and you can win a four-pack of tickets. Actually, no, two tickets.
Oh.
To the Chris Stapleton concert next June 27th at Tinley Park. Tickets and info at livenation.com, on sale on Friday at 10. But you can win them now, 312-540-0670, and win a pair of tickets to see Chris Stapleton.
I would go and drink some Tennessee whiskey because that's how good that
He's
song
got more
is.
Than just that song.
That's a good song.
Yes.
Got a great voice.
He has got a great voice. He's a great songwriter.
Yeah, he is also a songwriter. All right, we've got, I believe it's a Layla Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. We'll get a chance to talk to Dan and Marshall and Layla next. Mully and Haw on the score.